Kaaba. In Parshas Tetzaveh, the Torah focuses on the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Very beginning of the Parsha, ואתה הקרב אליך את אהרן אחיך ואת בניו לך נובי. הקדוש ברוך הוא עושה את זה, ותישא בגדי קודש לאהרן אחיך לכבוד ובספר. You should make clothing for the Kohanim לכבוד ובספר. You see again a little bit later, ולבני אהרן also, you should make for them kutanos, v'sisulahem avnetim, v'gba'os, v'aselahem, v'chavod, v'lisafat. V'vash to'osam es aron achicha, to be lovish them, to be the lovush, וקידשת אותו מחי הנובי. So the Torah gives, spends a lot of time and gives many details about the way the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim are supposed to dress. What is the purpose? What is the purpose for all this, for all these details? What is the purpose of all these clothes? What's the significance? Why? So there are numerous ideas given. I believe that obviously many ways to the rich topic, and there are many ways to approach it. I'd like to mention a few ideas given by the Mepharshim, and I'd like to work with them and develop them, and nevertheless, the ideas that we say tonight are somewhat underdeveloped. I have a lot I'd like to try to fit in, so it might be presented somewhat, in somewhat of a choppy way, in order to take one idea and try to work with it a little bit, and other ideas, and hopefully we'll talk a little bit about Purim, because Parshas Tetzaveh always falls around the time of Purim, and of course the two immediate themes which are connected between Parshas Tetzaveh and Purim. Most obviously, the custom and the worldwide Jewish custom of dressing in a different way on Purim. And in addition to that, the dressing of the Megillah, right? The etzikar, teferes kedulaso, right? The car and teferes kedulaso. The feres and the special royal garb of Mordechai, and as we'll see, the actual garb is actually the same garb of the, as we'll get to in a couple of minutes, is actually the same garb as the Kohanim in the Beit HaMikdash. Achashverosh actually took that, as the Gemara says in Megillah, actually took the very clothing of the that we described in this week's parasha, the very clothing he was wearing that clothing. Okay. This part will explain that the purpose of this beautification, the teferes, l'chavod teferes, was the Kohanim needed to beautify themselves in order to show their respect for Avodat Hashem. They needed to show their own their respect. In other words, so to speak, Am Yisrael show we need to dress well to show our recognition, significance for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we're doing. I'll just say quickly some others. The Nitziv developed that in order to, that we needed to dress well in order to command the respect of other people. Outsiders and outside people should respect and honor and recognize, respect what we're doing. We should command the respect of others regarding what we're doing. We're not just doing something ridiculous. We actually look very, very honorable. And lastly, for right here, right now, the Chinuch explains entirely differently that the reason for the Big Day Kahuna was in order to remind ourselves, not necessarily to remind other people, to remind ourselves, the Kohanim needed to remind themselves, right, of what they were doing. The fact that we were doing the Avodah to inspire the Kohen himself that he should remember that he's serving God. Serve as a personal inspiration. He shouldn't forget what he's doing. Shouldn't forget the significance of his every action and thought. So in a certain sense, the Svarno's idea is, in broad strokes, Mechavaru Tefaras was for whose honor? Mechavaru Tefaras was for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to glorify Avodas Hashem. According to the again, in broad strokes, and it seems that the point is that the Kohen needs to glorify himself. The Chavad was the first, was in order to glorify himself, that he should look beautiful, right? In order to impress other people. He's significant. He needs to look beautiful in order, again, there's a reason for that, in order to command other people's respect, but nevertheless, we need to glorify ourselves about who we are. We are serving the Rabbanim Shel Olam. You know, we're doing Avodat Hashem. We're holding up the world. So I'd like to speak a little about clothing. No matter how you slice this, no matter how you approach this, one thing is for sure, that clothing makes a difference. The way the Kohen Gadol showed up to work, the way the Kohanim did the work made a difference, and this gem will make a difference. They matter. Clothing matters. It's not some trivial, insignificant, unimportant, minor detail. Oh, by the way, I need to present, put something on my body. That's incorrect. Even though there is a notion that it's not necessarily what's on your head, it's what's in your head, right? I accept that what's in your head is more significant than what's on your head, as my father used to tell me. But nevertheless, that does not mean that clothes have no significance. There are many halachas about the type of clothes, even straight halacha, the Torah, the mitzvahs, about the way we dress. Certain types of clothes are prohibited because of reasons of modesty, or because of reasons of immodesty, or because of reasons of shyness, right? Or perhaps because of other laws that go into clothing. But we'll call it, so to speak, socially or spiritually, clothes matter. I thought it was, no, this is important. It makes a difference. A person, unfortunately, we have no Beis HaMikdash today. That doesn't mean that this law is gone. The idea stands, the message stands. In other words, the way those who are serving God should present themselves, right, is significant. It's important. Is this the end of the world? What is what I'm saying now? Is it the end of the world? It's not the end of the world, but it's wrong or right. And it's part of a greater message. To wear pants, four sizes too big. Right? It's like, there's a certain style, right? You wear pants
the way it comes, like the Derby here, and you show a lot of boxer in the back, and that's like a, you know, that's like a certain, that's who I am, you know. I show boxer, you know, I show boxer. You know, that's like, and that's an important image. You see people, I see in my life, they're pulling their pants down. I see they're pulling their pants down and trying to get the, you know, like, much too high. It's like, comes over into here, it's much too high. We gotta get it down, you know, we gotta, and that's a certain style. Now, if your mind is in a certain place, or you don't even think about these kinds of things, but, you're trying to be a particular type of person, trying to act in a certain way. So that's significant to you. Right, that's significant to you. But if you're trying to, you know, if you're trying to present yourself, you want, if you wish to, if you dream about presenting yourself as someone who connects to not only civility, but spirituality and you know, who gives thought, not only before they speak, but before they act, and before they dress. It falls entirely into the picture of your life. You know, to where, you know, like simple example, again, it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world, but it's indicative of what type of spiritual sensitivity the person has. It just is, right? To wear, you know, ripped jeans or pants that are, you know, 3 feet, you know, a foot too long for you, but you don't go to the tailor to get them cut, you know, to get them handed. You let them go, like, you know, they come down, oh, it's like 2 feet pajamas. They come down all the way, you know, step on them, and then they're torn in the back, and that's who they are, right? And flip-flops, you know what I'm saying? That's who they are. That's what I do. You know, that's what I do. But when you didn't notice your pants are all torn up, you look like, I don't want to say, I don't want to judge people, you know, you look disheveled. No, that's it. I want that. You know, I still mentioned an old rabbi. I understand, your pants are torn. He goes, no, I got that. I wanted them torn. You know, I asked him to say, I bought them torn. Like, what does that mean? You know, like, I bought these pants regular, but then I put stains on them. I want them to be white, you know, like, well, you know, like, that's the style, that's the style. Again, to dress weird. Specifically, they dress weird. They want, you know, like, I do it my way. I don't follow anyone's rules, okay? You're not a sinner, you know, but you don't have to follow rules. Anything about rules, but there's certain social, basic social behaviors that again, place you in a, put you in a particular place and speak. They speak. Take it or leave it. They speak. They're nonverbal, but they speak to people. They tell other people, you know, about what you believe in. They do. They tell like you know, what type of, whether it's a social group or a behavior or buck the trend or grunge or, you know, I'm very chill out, or I don't care what anyone says. But they speak. No one's going to say them out loud. You're going to say, listen, how cool am I? You know, look what I'm doing. You know? No one's going to say that. But the fact is, they speak. Clothes speak. But clothes don't just speak, they honor. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan used to call his clothes Mechab Dutai, my honorers. Gemara in Shabbos Kufi Gimel. He used to call his clothes my honorers, the things that give me honor. In fact, the Medrash even says, Kvodu Shel Adam Vegado. The honor of a person is his clothes. Clothes give honor to a man. A clothes present a person in an honorable way. If you consider the beautiful and extra, almost extravagant clothes that set aside the Kohen Gadol, so that was like above. It was like dressed in a very exquisite way. So that showed that represented his greater honor than a regular person. The Gemara in Shabbos Laman Aleph talks about the Ger wanted to convert. So what's the story? What was the story there? The Ger, this guy, a regular Gentile, is walking down the street and he hears someone's learning in the Beis Medrash. He cracks the windows open, he cracks the Beis Medrash, and the Beis Medrash, the Rebbe's teaching the kid. What's he teaching? He's got the Parsha Tetzaveh. And he's teaching him, and the coin girl wore this. He's like,
magnificent, ornate, beautiful, right, garment. And then he also wore this. And he also wore that. And the guy's listening. Wow. That's beautiful. Made out of pure this and gold and embroidered like that and so like this. And gorgeous. It sounds beautiful. Wow. He naturally goes, this sounds interesting. You know, he naturally goes, is the rabbi here with me? You know, who's teaching that? The rabbi. He goes, the rabbi, listen, what is that? He goes, oh, is it close to the going? Who is that? He goes, you know, the greatest. He goes, okay, I want to convert to Judaism. The truth is, he goes, I want to convert to Judaism. You know, I want to wear those clothes. And of course, what's the joke?
Yeah.
If he converts, he's an Israel, not a Kohen. Right? But he said, but Shammai went nuts, get out of here, and he went to Hillel, and said, I quoted a few weeks ago. Hillel says, okay, fine. Right? He's able to, broad-minded, to see past that, and he just decided to wear nice clothes, all right? Okay, eventually he explained it to him, but the point is, you see that a person wanted to convert to Judaism. It was enough that a person was willing to give away his life, to give away everything he was doing in order to dress in a beautiful way. That's amazing. And that itself would change your whole life just for the feeling, right? For the internal or internal, whatever it is, as we described before, what the purpose of. But if only this simple guy, you would say it's the most simple, if only for his own personal interest, to wear, he had a good feeling of wearing something beautiful. You know, the as I quoted the Gemara before, Megillah Yedei, it's Ahasverosh, it's sad. So we start to read the Eicha Trav. Right? He wore the clothes of the and used the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash. He dressed up as the Kohen Gadol. It sounds funny, right? I always every year I always think, you know, like I see people sometimes dressed up as the Kohen Gadol in front of, you know, like here at the popular costume. See, we don't have, you know, football teams, right? So here, it's like, you know, the kind of people dressed as the Kohen Gadol. I think that's what, you know, like that was it. And the first person, Ahasverosh, was dressed. The guy, he's dressed like, it's sad, it's tragic. He's dressed as the Kohen Gadol. In fact, the Gemara says in Yuma Ayin Beis that the big day kahuna are just the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. They're not just nice clothes. They actually are mechaper. They're mechaper. That if the Gemara says there, look at how, if not for the big begotten of the Kohen Gadol, the Jewish people will be totally destroyed. That's what it says. If not for the big day kahuna, the Jewish people will be totally destroyed. Presumably because they're mechaper. The Gemara says, Zvachim Peiches. That the big day kuna were mechape, and the Gemara gives a whole list, each one, what it's mechape for. So our clothes matter. Like, our clothes make a difference. Our clothes make a difference. You know, you wouldn't walk into a wedding wearing a, you know, Hawaiian shirt. You just wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. Think about that. Think about that. You know? It's like a nightmare. It's like a nightmare. You know, like these little kids in a nightmare, they go to school in their underwear, you know? Like, oh man, so what's wrong? We've seen commercials, women in the underwear all the time. What's wrong with that? That's very nice. That's common. What's wrong? Right? But you see, it's strange. It's uncomfortable. It's not the way you're supposed to dress. You don't dress that way. Right? It's not expected. Right? The president wears, you know, he wears a suit his inauguration, not, he doesn't wear a bathing suit. You know, with flip-flops and standing there swearing in the Bible. If we laugh, then it's a good sign. If we laugh, that means we realize there's something wrong with that. But let's say it. Let's say it out. There's something wrong with dressing in a way which is strange, which is inappropriate, which is abnormal, which doesn't present yourself in a proper way. And a policeman, they wear a uniform, they don't wear a polo shirt. Again, all these are just basic examples. You know, my friend was, once gave an example about the U.S. Supreme Court justices. I feel like tremendous amount of respect. And how do they show up? They're wearing these long black robes and sitting at, you know, there's a bench over there. That's it. That's the way it looks. What would happen? You got the Supreme Court, and they show up in jeans and sneakers. Who are you? But it's the same person. Oh, but you know what? The presentation makes a difference. Don't tell me the clothes don't make a difference. It's just not true. Simply not true. I have to tell you. It's just simply not correct. I just call it as it is. It's just not true to say that it makes no difference how we ever judge. What do you care? Again, I'm not being small. I'm not telling you that it's more important. Some people say, oh, it makes no difference. You're the biggest rush in the world. You're really dressed, you know, like black and white. That's stupid and narish, kind of ridiculous. The Seder, I accept that. But that's not the point here. I think we're ready to grow past that. Right? We're ready to say, okay, fine. The Pneumius is more important. The Seder. The value that Chitzonis is not important at all. It's not true. Chitzonis does make a difference.
The way we present it, that does make a difference. You know, you imagine you go to a funeral and how do we go? You go in a suit. You don't show up in you don't show up in shorts and a t-shirt. You're never wearing a suit. But, you know, this guy shows up in shorts. I mean, come on, it wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen. So what about the Beis Medrash? Would you show up on Yom Kippur? Where you know, I'm saying like it's a certain way of dressing. It's a certain way that's appropriate. You show up to shul. You know, you're not wearing flip-flops. I'm not attacking anyone. Again, it's not the end of the world, but it's a spiritual sensitivity. It's cheap, it's obvious. You don't show up in this place wearing no socks and so forth. It's just not appropriate. It's just not right. Again, it's the end of the world. I hope you know me enough. I'm not attacking people. I'm just saying, I'm just drawing a picture of, it's obvious, really. It's really obvious. I mean, the same way you wouldn't do any of these other things. And what about head covering? This is going to sound, again, you think I'm not attacking anyone. I promise, I'm not attacking anyone. I'm just raising the what I think is, seems to me, the fair hashkafa. Seems to me. We say every morning the Gemara says in brachas when you get dressed and you put on a head covering, what should you say? The Gemara says they used to make a bracha before they did it. Not like that's what we say it all in one shot. They used to do it as they went along. They get dressed and they malbish harum. They get up, you know, matzah shum, don't get kavuga. Right? So the question is, when you get dressed, you put on a head covering, you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Le'yam Nechalam, Oter Yisrael, this is Baruch. Did you hear those words? It sounds like the Beis HaMikdash. Oter, I don't know what I tell you, the crown, Yisrael, B'Tifarah, Tiferet. Here it is. L'chavol L'Tifaret. It's a sign of splendor, of glory, of beauty. So not a, you know, again, I'll say this in the fourth time, I'm not attacking him. Just the concept of what a head covering is supposed to be, what the yarmulke is supposed to be. A smiley face. That's the best you can do. A New York Rangers yarmulke, you know, like that's not the, again, it's not the outfit. It's not the very beginning of being a Yid, but it's part of it. It's part of it. You know, it's New York. That's it. You know, people like, it's like it becomes a big joke. You know, where am I going to wear my yarmulke? It's like a billboard. You know, I'm going to wear. Whatever it is. You know, what I'm saying, oh, the Rangers, like the Islanders. You know, and Ninja Turtles. You know. All right, okay, it's not the end of the world. That's not the The chinuch has a famous idea, a very famous idea. Actually, it's a whole topic, it's a whole shiur of another time. But it's a famous idea which is also related to his essay here, an expression which he introduced originally by Parshas Bo, but comes up many other times throughout the Torah, in his commentary on the Torah. The Sefer Chinuch writes, "Acharei ha'pu'ula t'mshachem ha'lavava." The way a person behaves, actually, physically, the way a person acts on his physical body, his physical actions, actually will affect his internal reality. A tremendous yisod. It's a huge yisod, right? It's a sure truth. There's no question about that. The way a person dresses causes them to feel a different way. That's what the Sefer Chinuch is saying. Listen, if he dresses in this way, it reminds him, whoa! Oh, hold on, I can't forget that. Look what I'm doing. Look where I'm dressed. Look who I am. Right? He can't forget who he is. The clothes actually help define who we are. People don't like to be told, you know, don't like to have to define themselves. Don't limit me. Don't know what to do. But the fact is, no matter what you decide, how you decide to dress, the fact is that your clothes define are going to assist you, your self-imagery and your mood, the way you feel. The clothes make the man. You know, I don't know. The clothes make the man. The clothes not make the man. The truth is that, you know, that I actually, my wife had a friend. She told me once. My wife had a friend. And she told me she went to her friend. And on a regular day, she's all dressed up. All dressed up. My wife says, what's going on? Wedding is something. She says, no. Her friend says, look at this. What a chachma. I said, no. I'm in a really bad mood today. Really bad mood. What happened? I'm very upset at something. So I'm so, when I get very upset, I'm down, or whatever it is, I dress up. I dress up. She said, this is my direction. She said, I dress up, and I feel better. Because now, look, oh, I feel good about myself, and I feel better. So my sister, right? I thought it was like wow, 2 points in the same direction. That's exactly it. That's exactly what he's saying. You know, if you wear a nice suit, you tell me. If you wear a wife beater, and you put on a nice suit, you feel that you feel the difference in yourself. Forget anyone, I'm not judging anyone, looking at anyone. Just your own hagasha. You feel different when you're wearing a nice suit, when you're wearing a white suit. It's a fact. It's a fact. So, the Mishnah Megillah, some of you people might have been learning, the Mishnah Megillah says that nowadays, unfortunately, as I said, the days of Mishnah, when there was no Shemana Mishnah anymore, so how would a person become, how would a coin become a Kohen Gadol? No? Who's learning Mishnayot? Megillah? The Mishnah, the first time Megillah, you don't read it? You couldn't anoint. You couldn't get anointed with the Mishnah Mishnah. What did you do? What did you do? You put on the clothes of the coin. Got him? Poof! Bang! You know, there he is. You know, voila! He's the coin. Got him. Well, he didn't do anything. There was no anointment. There was no inauguration. There was no installation. Yeah. The fact that you put on the clothes, that's it. Shine. He's the coin. That's halacha. You could become the coin in one of two ways, either with the Shemana Mishka or by wearing the clothes of the coin girl. So how does that work? Yeah, if you wear the clothes of the coin girl, that's it. You become the coin girl. You are what you wear. Right? And it affects you. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah does Megillah that way. Right? So there's a Chazal that talks about Parshas Yisro, or Parshas Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu meets the daughters of Yisro, so they come home and they say, hey, pops, you know, look who we met. He said, who do you mean? We met a who? We met a who? An Ish Mitzri. Chazal said, an Ish Mitzri? Who did you tell? They're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. How can it be an Ish Mitzri? You know what the answer is? I'm afraid to say it, but it seems like in the marriage, he said, you know what? He was an Ish Mitzri. I would be his. No, but he dressed up in Ish Mitzri. Must have been dressed up in Ish Mitzri. Shine, he's an Ish Mitzri. Ah, he's the holiest deed ever. It's true. But a little bit of it, it seems to me, I hope I'm not making a mistake. So forgive me if I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, please forgive me if I make a mistake. But it seems to me that the way the Torah presents it, that he in a certain way, he was an Ish Mitzri. Why? Because he dressed up in Ish Mitzri. He's dressed like an Ish Mitzri, you're an Ish Mitzri. That's frightening. Understand this concept. You dress like an Ish Mitzri, you're an Ish Mitzri. I don't know. In other words, that's the way he presented himself. So again, it's not just the fact that physically presented himself as it was really, he really was a Jew, but the Torah said it. The Torah said that he was an Ish Mitzri. So in a certain tiny, tiny way, I'm sure it doesn't affect Moshe Rabbeinu as much as affects us. But the fact is, if that's the way you dress, that's who you are. Don't say, oh, you know, like this and like that. So by one made the point that a coin moved the garden and a coin guttled. Dress in a certain way. That's who he is. He wanted to say the same thing that us. We dress. He wanted to say this idea that our clothes, that you know, the way we dress today, that also becomes, you know, becomes in a certain sense, it becomes who you are. You know, learning the Megillah is my share. So you know, when the Jewish people are broken, and Mordechai is down, and trying to show the Rabbanei Shalom that the Jews repent. So what do they do? How do they get in the mood? They wear sackcloth. That's what they do. They change their clothes. They wear sackcloth. What the? What? Why? What is that going to do? What does that do? That's an expression of tshuva, an expression of atzmus. Just the wearing the clothes themselves are already a ma'aseh avodah. The wearing of the clothes themselves are already a ma'aseh avodah. You see, in general, this is a theme of mine that we're going to see here. That apparently, not only do clothes make a difference, not only do the clothes matter, but clothes actually can in a certain sense be avodas Hashem. We see in this in Pasha that wearing clothes and the way we wear clothes is avodas Hashem. Are you doing the avodah correctly or not correctly? Right? If you wear, put it on something at a certain time. Oh. We're now is the time to serve God. If I have, I wear a sackcloth. That's inappropriate. That's avodas Hashem. Right? That itself is going to, Hashem is going to forgive us. You know, Hashem is going to change the decree because we're wearing a sackcloth. That itself shows that a bunch of them. That's it. And the Kohen Gadol has to wear a certain thing. That's also. Well, let's go back. Let's go back in time for a little bit. Let's just talk about the concept of the Chavar of the Tefaras. Initially, man created Homo sapiens, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. You know there's a restaurant on Avenue Vehicle, the Garden of Eden? What a corny name. E-A-T-I-N, the Garden of Eden. Isn't that corny? Don't mind that.
All right. Anyway, so in the Garden of Eden, man and women, guess what? They have no clothes. No clothes. Interesting. God created man without clothes. Without clothes. What happened next? What happened next was that man got involved in sin. Man did something he shouldn't have done, and he rebelled against God. He did an Avera, Hashamnu Bagadnu. Bagadnu. He was traitorous. He was traitorous against God. Bagadnu, make the connection. Beged. And the Mepharshim simply point out that Beged relates to Bogey, since he was what? Since he rebelled against God, suddenly, what happens immediately right after that? God's like in the garden. Right? He's blowing around the garden there, God, and Adam, what's he doing? Where's Adam? He's embarrassed, right? What does the Torah say? He's hiding, he's scared. He's embarrassed. So it says, suddenly they're embarrassed after the sin. Why? Because he rebelled against God. Suddenly he realizes, come on, I'm not dressed. Suddenly he feels embarrassed because he needs begging because he was bogey. Since he rebelled against God, he was traitorous against God. So suddenly he needs clothing. He needs begotten. Right? Clothing symbolized a loss of innocence. It symbolized a loss of innocence. Right? And that's it. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos and Davayim Zayin. What does Levush mean? Levush means dress, right? Says the Gemara, you know what Levush stands for? Low Bosh. Not to be embarrassed. That's what Levush is. Not to be embarrassed. Right? That's what they say. Children, little children, right? And not embarrassed. Because they're totally innocent. They're totally innocent. A 4-year-old kid would just run around, you know, in his birthday suit. He doesn't care. Right, they're embarrassed. It's very innocent. That's the concept. Man today is embarrassed. Right? Since we sinned, so we have busha. We need the bush, which is low bush, not to be embarrassed. So in a certain sense, I was thinking that now that nakedness is a busha, right? Now that nakedness is a busha, after Chet HaRishon, and we need begadim because we were bogeys. So the Torah teaches us in this week's parasha, guess what? Clothes aren't only a downer. In other words, the way you dress is not just about, we're losers. We have to wear clothes because we're sinners. Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, but there's a way to go beyond that. There's a way that clothes could actually serve as a covenant, as a teferet. In other words, that clothes could be avodas Hashem again. You sing, right? And now you became aware of the fact that you need clothes. So the fact is that, you know what? Through wearing clothes, there's a way to wear clothes. It's wearing clothes is avodas Hashem. Right? L'chavah l'teferet for us and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It can be used as a kapara, like we said before. Wearing clothes can achieve a kapara. It used to be only in the temple, but perhaps you can say, you know what, you see the concept that if you weren't something the wrong way, so guess what? It wouldn't be a kapara. So again, I can't say it with such conviction. I can't say, every single thing you wear is going to make you a kapara. I'm not saying the clothes you wear today are not going to make you a kapara. But nevertheless, you see the concept stands. You see the idea, the notion is objectively real, as far as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned. The way you dress could achieve a kapar. and by the way, let's say it, I want to say it openly. To look good is also, is also a mitzvah. To look nice, to present yourself in a decent way. So we're all Kohanim in a certain sense, right? The prophet says, the prophet says, the Am Yisrael says, Amlechas Kohanim. Amlechas Kohanim. That means we're all in a certain sense, we're all like Kohanim. Right? So, can you open the window, sorry, Joe? Is it hot? Thank you. So the point is that we're representative of God, right? Doesn't work, I'm sorry. Yeah, some of them are broken. Don't open the door. Thank you. Thank you very much. So, the Chavadot Tefares, in other words, that we sit to a Melech HaSkoanim, we're in Eved Hashem, Lamaisa, Bizman HaZeh. Today, you walk in the street, how many of us, I've heard people say, oh, you know, look at those, I'm not going to say. They have certain times, you know, they don't shower, they don't wear deodorant, these guys, they never dress well. Okay? If that's what you feel, and I'm not saying you're wrong, so understand, and we're the same one. So we're the same people, to the people who are less religious than us. That's how you see it. It looks like a mess all the time. It looks like a slump all the time. It looks like you can go up the face, at least you look like a half a decent man. What do you do all year? At least become just civil. You know, just civil. I mean, studies have been done. Plenty of studies have been done. The private schools and the, you know, require a certain dress code to wear a uniform has a lesser level of defiance and you know, deviant behavior than negative behavior than public schools. Everyone can do whatever they want. What's the shot? There's a correlation between the way you dress and the way and your behavior. That's the truth. Right? And the way people think about you as well. Look like a mensch. Look like a mensch. You're going to show up to... it's going to only be a few years. You're going to go to work. You're going to show up to a business meeting. You saw the guy show up here for the meeting? They're wearing suits and ties. I'm not saying, you know, look, trust me. If I had the money, you know, I'd buy the... You know, my salary. But I would wear, you know... Actually, I have a rebbe of mine. He's very modest. He's very always wear nice ties. Okay, look, it's also not necessarily done around me. I really would do. Anyone who wants to buy me, you know, $50,000, but, you know, it's the Barney's own Barney's, Brooks Brothers. You know, the point is that you know, I think it's right. You don't have to look like a mess. I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's the right thing. That itself is I'm not saying what color. I'm not saying. I don't care. I'm not. I have no agenda here. I have no agenda. You know, only what's objectively spiritual. And I think that a certain derech eretz plays into what's objectively spiritual. Okay. That being said, I have. With my remaining time, I'd like to present two other strains of thought. In regards to the clothes being a reminder to us and to others. What we wear being reminded to us and to others, those two ideas we said earlier. I was thinking a lot recently about a certain an idea that we see in the Torah a few times that goes beyond simple clothing, but actually stretches this a bit further to an actual communication, an actual type of communication beyond simple garments in and of themselves. And let me explain. And Bereshit Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tesvav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm just talking fast, we have a lot to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a conversation with Cain, and Cain says, oh, I killed my brother, oh, I said, I'm going to destroy you. He says, oh, no, okay, listen. You know, he's very, very defensive. And Hashem says, okay, listen. You're worried that everyone's going to kill you? Look at the conversation there. You're worried that everyone's rightfully so, you killed your brother, people are going to kill you. Hashem says, okay, listen, I'm going to protect you. And Hashem put what does the Torah say? An oath. Underline that word. An oath on his forehead. An oath on him. Chazal say, I read too quickly, and then Rashi says, what was that oath? What was that oath? So, chakak lo oath mishmol b'metzchol.
What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed an actual letter of his name, of God's name, the mitzvah, on Cain's forehead. He walked around with, like, he was always wearing this sort of thing. He had a mark on it, right? That itself was like a mark on his forehead. It was a message. No, it doesn't say which letter of God's name, right? Maybe it was the Yud, right? Maybe it was the Shin of Shakai. But there he was, you know. He was walking around like you would see it, right? And people say, like, oh, I'm going to kill that guy. You're the one who you killed my. And that was it. It was the thing. Like, whoa. Yeah, there it was. But the movies, you know, like the comics. Superman. You know, that. And I want to talk about Superman. I'd like to discuss Superman with you right now. Anyone uncomfortable with that? Is that too challenging? Can we talk about Superman? Do you feel comfortable talking about Superman? Is this actually the... Do you feel it's an appropriate level view? Okay, I think that that this is similar to something that we do. Okay, we don't have kind, we're not kind, but in a few different ways, and I'll try to talk quickly again, there's more to figure out, but just quickly as far as association is concerned. This is a similar concept to the tefillin. The tefillin say, what does the pasuk say? You wear tefillin, it say what? Al yadecha? An oath, right? And between, also the same word, an oath. Right? And by the way, an oath, which literally means a what? A sign also means a letter. How about that? Smoke that. Right? In other words, you got an oath on your, a letter, which is a sign, but it's symbolized by what? It's oath by the letter itself. That means we have the shin. It's like, it sounds like Superman. I hate to part of it. Looks, you know, Elf Abdullah, I mean, forgive me, right? There we are. We wear that thing, and it says a shin on it. Like, right, it's not a sin to do that. It's a shin, but it's shakai. Here we are. And pardon me, I feel embarrassed to give that example. That was something we can relate to, but that's the concept. You know who we are? God-man. God-bird. That's it. That's the concept. I'm serious. That's really what it's about. That's what the shin is. The shin is we're representative of the fact that we are, you know, we're representative of God. We're little gods. You know, that's what we are. That's the concept. So we work for God. And this is, coming back to our parsha, that's exactly in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Lam, you know, Lamed Vav through Lamed Ches, in our parsha. So that's what it says. It says that the Kohen Gadol wore a what? Wore a tzitz. And what does it say on the tzitz? It says Kodesh Lashem. There it is, in this week's parsha. In other words, again, it says the name of God on it. He's wearing this thing. Again, I hate to use this example. Unfortunately, we grew up with Superman. What does it say? That's the idea. It says God across his forehead, right? Not like kind for negative, but for positive. There it is. It's God. There it is. It sounds cute, but that's the truth. And he has the name of God on his forehead. Turns around, and the Gemara says, "The Gemara, I'm telling you, look at Rashi and Pashas Pinchas, whatever it is. It's it itself is like shining on." It like being mamish like people, man. I mean, I'm embarrassed. I'm getting all excited. I mean, they're like in the comics. Later on, the fashion boat. Like, I'm not discussing what happened, but Midian, the tit zooms out like razors, like lasers, like, and people were killing people. Because whatever the case, whatever it was. But it was beaming out, beaming out, and it was killing people. And the name of God is powerful. And that's who the Kohen Gadol is. He wears it. He wears it on his head. It rests on his forehead. It comes as a. So what's the point of it? It's a sign. Rabosai, listen carefully. This is. So what is the point of it? It's a sign, a reminder for all those. Number one, listen carefully. Oh, number one, for others who see it, as the pasuk says clearly. Look it up in Devarim, for the pes, for the yud. The Gemara says there, the Yerukal, get the lesson of the prophet, the Yerukal Ha'am, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, V'yem Yemeka. The world is going to see you wearing tefillin. This is Pashup Chat, the Gemara says. Pashup Chat, the Pasuk. I'm not saying a chav. That the world, the Goyim will see a person, us wearing tefillin, and they'll be like, whoa, I can't. I'm like, they'll be afraid of us. But wearing tefillin, you see a Shakai man.
That's who I am. And if you see the name of God, be afraid of us. They're afraid of us because how we're presenting ourselves. The point is not to instill fear. That's not the point. The point is that we're holy, that we're righteous, that we're scared of what happened on Mount Sinai. Holy to look. Whoa! Look at that righteous man. Look at him. Look at him go. Right? So and what's interesting, and by the way, that's to other people. And also, of course, obviously, the oath for us. It's an oath for us. It's not just an oath for other people. It's for us, it's for us to remind us. There's a truth. But we do have the big day kuna to you. We do have a concept today. It's not just to remind other people. It's both to remind other people, it's about to death, and to remind ourselves. To remind ourselves, listen, whoa, you know what? Do we know who we are? Forget this. Do you know who we are? Do I know who I am? It's not like, do you know who I am? Forget this. Do I know who I am? That's the point. For us to know that we are God-man, we are Shakai man. That's the point. It's important for other people and for us. And that's, and make no mistake, tefillin is a levush. The Gemara says that in Shabbos. And everything. You might talk about, you would find tefillin on Shabbos, you put them on, and you might talk about, it's a levush. Tefillin is considered a garment. Right? So we wear tefillin. if we remind other people and reminding ourselves, interestingly, this is fascinating, the way that the Lashon of the Torah is Tzitz Nezer Kodesh. What is Tzitz Nezer Kodesh? That Tzitz is a what? What does Nezer mean? Anyone know? A crown. The Tzitz is considered like a crown. What is the Pasuk in Tanakh called tefillin? A pe'er. Pe'er olai. Pe'er chavez olai. Good. Very good. Very good. Pe'er. Right, there it is. Right? So pe'er and tefillin are considered a crown. You see that? Isn't that fat? You see that? Tefillin are a crown on our head. Right? And resemble, again, the glory of God, right, over us, but also, listen carefully, that's the glory of God over us. The glory of God that we carry. That we carry the glory of God. We have the crown of God. Rabbi Nathan and Ishmael, every Jew got two crowns. There it was. Not a joke. That's not just a cute joke. That's a reference. Oh, that's not just a nice medrash. That's openly expressed in the Torah. The Torah goes to the edge of it. Openly explicit that we got crowns. What does that mean? We got crowns of God. For God men. Yeah, real crowns. That's a concept. Real crowns. And we're tefillin. We wear the crown. It's Hashem's name on it. Right? Interestingly, the tzitz is considered a crown, and the tefillin are considered a crown. And by the way, really parenthetically, the nazir, so the Gemara used to say that the nazir is also from Lashon Nezer, which is a crown. And nazir wears the crown number one, but because it's the only thing that it doesn't fit into what we're saying. It doesn't have. It's hair. It's hair. It doesn't have the name of God written on it. But nevertheless, as Miller explained it, that he grows long hair specifically because he's so spiritual, he never wants to forget God. And every action, he can never come tummy, he can never come drink this or that, he's spiritual, whatever it is. But the point is that he himself is, in a certain sense, the king. Right? In a certain sense, he's a king himself, and he's always thinking about God and his behavior. By the way, outside of the very most simple interpretation, the nugget of the crown, because the guy's an afro. I mean, his hair looks like a crown. Right? The guy is the Dr. J there, you know, with the ears. I mean, he's more gay. He doesn't cut it. Big, right? okay, but that's... But again, in the concept of Mamlechas Kohanim, by Yom Shabbos, you know, everyone got a crown, so Mamlechas Kohanim. Well, Mamlechas in the word Mamlucha. Every year is a king! Every year is a king. That's the point. We wear a crown. We wear the building. Can we leave it open? Thank you. It's representative of the fact that we're king. Now, I want to bring this further, okay? Regarding an oath on our body. Okay, listen, when we wear an oath, we wear an oath on our stomach. But that's not literally on our bodies themselves. I want to take this further. The truth is, I'm going to freak you out right now. Okay? The Medrash says, I'll just quote you the Medrash, I'm not saying it myself. If you look it up, it's Tanchuma, you won't believe me. I'm telling you, you won't believe me. Tanchuma, in Parashat Shmini, Perek Ches. Tanchuma, Parashat Shmini, Perek Ches. Or Oth Ches, whatever it is. Latin, you know, Allah Ches. And there it says, there the letter says the following. Every Jew, listen carefully, has the name of God on their body itself. And the Medrash says, if you look up the Ben Bechai over there, and also in Parshas and Sefer Bereishis twice,
He has the name of God Shin, and then a Dalet, and then a Yud. What is this? So the Medrash says, right, Exhibit A, that you have a Shin, I can't bend, on your nostril. It's an upside down Shin. Okay, this is a Shin. You got that? That's it. You see that? Yeah. There's a Shin right here. Right? Shin. Right. Does that stand on my head? You can imagine that? Right? Shin, the nostril. We have a Dalet here. But that's it. That's what every person has. That's Dalet. Right, all points in one reading. Dalet like this. You know, like this is that. Either this or the body itself with the YMCA. Okay? And then the Chazal is saying, that's it. You don't need a Shin and Dalet. Then you get the Bismillah. And out of Bismillah, the gland is exposed, the foreskin is peeled away, cut off, taken away, and the corona, the gland of the Mila, resembles a yud. So the exposed flesh, at the very top of the Mila, it resembles a yud. Okay? I cannot say this without drawing the obvious correlation. The fact that Chazal, in all of Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, where I talk about Nevuchadnezzar, talk about and refer to the glands of the Bismillah as an Akara, right? Because it looks like a crown, right? Right? It's considered a crown and it has the name of God on it. Just like the tefillin. Just like the tzitz is a crown and has the name of God on it. And again, like the tefillin is a crown and has the name of God on it. Wow. That's wild. Right? And the Gemara and the Medrash says right there that we say a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Alekein Melchalam, Hashem Yata Et Adam Mechach Mechabah Bavah Bavah Nikalim Chalulim Chalulim. Says the Gemara, says the Medrash right there, Chalulim Chalulim is Gematria 248. Keneged, the fact that we have 248 limbs in our body, and each one of them has a mitzvah attached to it. That's what the Medrash says. And the Mishnah doesn't go down the list all 248, but very high up there in the list is this. You know, it says, oh, this is the nose and the arm is right there. The arm and the Bismillah has the name of God in mark onto our flesh. So in other words, this oath, listen carefully, this oath, which is again a letter, as Cain as Cain had the letter of God on his flesh, so too the exposed corona, the gland of the Beth Mila, also has a is a letter Yud, so to speak, of the name of God. Also inscribed in the flesh. And that's what we say when we say Beth Mila. What's the lashon of the bracha? If it goes to Beth Mila, beautiful, beautiful bracha. And then it says the tesa of chasam be'os b'kodesh. So up until this week, when I was thinking about this, I thought, yeah, it means to say, but always be close, it means to say the bris, right? The sign, when I realized, Gival, it doesn't mean the sign, it means the Oath Bris Kodesh, that's what it means. It means that the Yud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is sealed into the Bismillah, that's what it is. It's covered up by everyone else in the world. But by a Jew, and of course, now it became popular to get a Bismillah, originally, no one ever got a Bismillah. And certain many parts of the world still, right? But a Jew gets a Brit Mila, he has the name of God, he has Oath Brit Kodesh, that's what it's called. Right? You ever hear the Brit, you ever go to a Brit, the guy says, Brit Kodesh! You ever hear that? Before he actually cuts the meat, you ever hear him say it? What's the pshat? And the Oath Brit Kodesh is because that's what he's doing. Now he has the name of God, it's awesome! And then it's like, it's unbelievable. You speak English? You understand what I'm saying? How come you're not dancing? How come you're not dancing? You walk around with the name of God. You understand? You're like, you're all, that's it. You're all like, you're power. You're plugging. You walk around with God. And then when you wear tefillin, guess what? A Jew wears tefillin, he's like ultra. Like, he walks around with, why? Because shin, it's not just a shin of the name of God. It's not just a shin. You understand? It's the dalit. I'm not making this up. Look at the even in the Rishonim. Even the Gemara already mentioned this. Certainly the Rishonim, certainly the Poskim, but it's more than that. It's not. I didn't look it up to find the original stuff. I've seen it many times when I said Shirim and Hilchos Tefillin in the Gemara. The Gemara is nothing. the back of the tefillin is a dalet. You ever heard this? Right? This is the shin. We have shin here. We have the back of the tefillin here. You look at your tefillin tomorrow. Sometimes two dalets together, and then over here, sticking out from the little end on the shayad, pay attention. It's a yud. It looks like a yud. So it's not just the first name of God. It's the whole name of God. That's why you won't believe it. La halacha la maisa. La halacha la maisa. Which tefillin are more chashuv? Shalrosh. Why? Because it has a shin and a dalet. The shalyad only has a yud. They both have the same amount of parshas. What's the difference? Why is the kedusha of shalrosh more significant? Halacha la maisa nafkamina. A ritzua. They both got worn out. You want to use this ritzua. Excuse me. You want to use this ritzua. This ritzua for the shalyad. You can't. Ma'am b'kosh lo meridin. It's halacha la maisa. The ritzua of the shalrosh can't be used for the shalyad. Why? Because already was they had two dials connected to that. Most 2/3 of Shem Hashem. You can't lower it down to just be a yud. Amazing. Halacha la maisa. It's true. Right? The point is when we always have the name of God after. And that's perhaps why we reached on the bridge. It just all struck me this week, and I put it all together, just figured it out. Right? It took me a long time. I just didn't get any sleep for bridge. So I love it. You go on the gill also. Because, right? But we were suffering and become. We were so on the fact that we were so on the bridge. We were so on the bridge this week. We were so on. Why? It's always a halakh, halakh. But the boss is the one to take the bridge. We were so on. What's the chat? Maybe this is the chat. Oath goes with oath. Right? The name of God is then we double, right? And we're tefillin, we should feel him. And even when we don't wear tefillin, we should also realize we walk around with the name of God. But the point is, we wear it. That's the point. What am I getting at? The point is, these are, again, your quote unquote birthday suit. Suddenly, it's not a joke. It's a suit. You know, my son, maybe not birthday. After this mila, right? The fact is that we wear the name of God always with us. And I said, what's that for? What's that for? Like, you know, we use. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvahs are done specifically that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that way, instructs us that way, so that we should be wearing we should be wearing the name of God. I've wondered to myself, you know, what's the point of this? You're telling me, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tavim Avinu and Bereshit Perikizan Pasigit Aleph, again he called it an oath. The Brit Mila is an oath. Hashem uses that terminology. So, you're calling it an oath, a sign that you're a yid. If you want to wear a sign that you're a yid, the hashem you wear like kain, like the tefillin, like what's it called, like the tzitz. That's an oath, Superman. You see, everyone sees. Right? Everyone sees. Just like, by the way, what's his name? Haman, this Nyanadi Yama, Haman, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, Haman had the Chakak, he also engraved on his chest, you know, I wouldn't even say the tattoo, but what is it? Engraved on his chest, what's it called? And Avodah Zarah. The Medrash says, Haman engraved on his chest, and he's also like Superman, right? Again, the same story, it's the opposite. And what does he say? Listen, I don't wear the crown of God, I wear the crown of, you know, Avodah Zarah, that's who I am, that's who I am, he presents himself that way. Right, that's what's chashuv to him. Again, the begadim, these begadim make a difference. So again, I was in the middle of the question. So I wondered to myself many times. I wondered, what's the point of that? If you want to tell me this is an oath, this is a sign for the world to see. So pardon my, you know, I mean, pardon is an obvious basic question. I mean, this oath, you know, it's an oath from the name of God, whatever, it's an oath, it's a sign, but it's the last place in the world that anyone's ever going to see. Right? The Bris Mila is, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know what the Bris Mila is? Yeah, so no one's going to see it, right? I mean, I hope not. Right? So the point is, so what kind of statement is that? What kind of statement is that? Like, we're going to teach you, it's a sign? What sign? Who's no one's ever going to see it? That's a fair question, don't you think? And the answer has to be, what's the answer? The answer is that there are two types of begadim, there are two types of signs. There's begadim, and they're both true. That's what we said about the Bidei Kahuna. They're the signs for everyone else, and the signs for myself. There are also for the world that's filling, the rest of the world to see it. The Bris Mila, for the name of God, but the Bris Mila is an inward oath. It's an oath for us. It's a reminder for us. And oh boy, do we need it. Right? We need it. Right? You look at your bris mila, you see the name of God. It's an oath for us. That's the truth. Oh, what else could it possibly mean? Come on. Right? Hashem says openly, the pasuk, Hashem says it should be a sign. It's like, oh, what sign? I don't see that except for you. Inechinami. And it should be a sign for us. It should be a sign that we're aware of. So in the end, get this, right? We every person has a verse. One verse, someone wears another verse. We have a double oath, right? And a double name of God on us. And the Kohen Gadol, he wore tefillin. By the way, remember, people wore tefillin all day. It's not like the halacha traditionally, according to traditional Judaism, up until the time, I think it's after the time of the Gemara, after the time of the Gemara, when people lost their ability to whatever, the Rambam already says just wear tefillin all day. Right? Or apparently people did so many times in the Gemara, everyone wears tefillin all day. That's the way the proper theoretical, ideal Judaism is. The person wears tefillin all day. Of course he wears tefillin all day. Right? So he has two oaths all the time. And then when a Kohen Gadol, make no mistake, he wears tefillin also. Right? Just because we talk about the special glove, of course he wears tefillin. Right? He has a triple oath. The guy's loaded. This commander, he's loaded, right? I mean, he's just full of godliness and righteousness. And by the way, when I think about this, obviously, that's the first thing that I'm thinking about, the next step, is that not only the Kohen Gadol has these three reminders, but another great, great Jew also has three reminders. He doesn't wear the tzitz, but that's the melech. The melech, even though he wears a crown, there's no more room on his head, he wears a crown. I don't believe it says the name of God. Anyone can tell me that, I give them cash for that. I don't know if anyone that says the name of God on a Jewish crown. I don't believe it. I never heard such a thing. But what's the cash? Cash, if you can find me, that's the answer. I wasn't looking for it. I didn't think about it right now. But the fact is, he wears, guess what? Now, of course he wears tefillin, but what else does he have with him always? The tag of the Torah. If you look at the Gemara Megillah and the second pad and whatever it's called, the Gemara there says, look it up. That essentially, according to one opinion, the way the Gemara presented, he wore the Sefer Torah as tefillin. He tied it, he strapped it to his arm, a little Sefer Torah, he strapped it to his arm. So the guy's also loaded. In other words, he wears tefillin on his left arm, and his other arm, he has more, he has the whole Torah attached to it. Right? So the Torah attached to it, that's the concept. Unfortunately, I have a whole other segment about, say what's about, I'm not going to say what it is, about as far as Purim is concerned, and wearing costumes, and the way we dress in Purim, and the way we put on masks, and the way we are Megala the Hester, right? We unmask, and Megillah Hester means Megillah to reveal, Hester the cover, right? So in a certain sense, we mask in Purim, in a certain sense, we unmask in Purim. And I was going to explain it to that. I don't have the time now, so I'll have to share with you, I don't know, finally, I'm happy to tell you a different time before Purim. But I just want to end with one short observation and ha'ara, just in closing, and that is that even though the Kohen Gadol wears these names of God on his head, but there's one other thing he wears. There's another set of names he wears, and that is not only the names of God on his head, he also wears the names of the Jewish people on his heart. Right? Because if you look at the Word of Atonement, each one of them, the Gemara says, had the names. The Gemara says in, hold on, I'll look it up, 1 second. I'll tell you exactly where it says it. The Gemara says, Sota that Lamed Vav. That was about, that. Actually that's about the Ksavas. He had on his shoulders as well. But the Gemara says that he wore on his heart and on his shoulders the names of the Jewish people. And when I was thinking about this, became obvious, right? But perhaps what it symbolizes is whereas a Jew, especially a Jewish leader, always has to be carried the names of God, b'nav l'makom, right? He needs reminders and stimulation, just like a mezuzah. He has to have the shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ruchnius and the b'nav l'makom. But he also has to carry the Jewish people in his heart, or on his heart, and on his shoulders. So the mind is sichli. The mind has to do with a man has to, keep his mind, ideas, and thoughts, and focus on God, and his relationship with God, but that's not good enough. As great as you'll ever be, that's not good enough. A greater Jew, not only has God on his mind all the time, like many times over, he doesn't say, he can't escape him, and he can't forget, but he carries the Jewish people on his heart and on his shoulders, on the Avnei Shoham and on the on his heart. So, you know, obviously it was in order not to connect to God, but to feel the Jewish people's pain and suffering and to be connected with them. Halavai, we should learn a little bit of the lessons of clothing, of ruchnias, of spirituality, and we should always be a sort of covenant.